Hey everyone, how you doing? It's great to see you. My name's Ian, I lead the team here. Just before I preach and speak from the Bible today, I want to update you on some news regarding one of our leadership teams. That's our trustees team, which is a really important team in the church that looks after us financially and legally and kind of governs and oversees from a legal point of view all that we do. And so we have had a transition over the past year where some of our trustees have stepped back from that role. So I really want to thank Tony Hassel and Roger Owen and Anne Harding Bell, who have all wonderfully served us diligently, faithfully, for different lengths of time. We so appreciate you guys and all that you have done in serving Open Door in that way. Tony has been a trustee for many years, more years than I can remember, and is no longer able to continue in the role for health reasons. We want to thank you so much, Tony, for all that you've done. And Roger and Anne have now both moved away and are living in different parts of the country, and felt as part of that move that it was right to put down their responsibilities as trustees of the church. And so we want to thank you as well, and bless you and your families as you go and be in other parts of the country. What we also want to do is to let you know that, excitingly, we've got two new trustees that have joined the team. So Steve Bresnan and Steve Selly have stepped up, and they are now in position as trustees, and we want to thank them for being willing to do that. They're going to be great additions to the team, to the existing team. So thank you very much to Steve and to Steve. Well, over the past 18 months, we have had to adapt our way of life a number of times. We've had to find new ways to do normal things. And at Open Door Church, we have had to adapt too. We've had to find new ways to meet together with one another and with God. And as we head towards a new year, we will continue to transition. In January, we as a team will be presenting our vision for 2022. But before we get there, I just wanted to take time today to encourage the church and to reflect on where we are at the moment, and perhaps give a few pointers about what to expect going forward into next year. And the first thing that I want to say really is just well done. I want to say well done to you that you are still here with us at Open Door. It's been such a challenging 18 months. We should be so encouraged that the church has held together as well as it has. We've stood firm together through challenging times. We've supported one another. We've served our town together, and we've been steadfast in continuing in our purpose of helping people to receive, respond to, and display God's love. Yes, we've had to adapt, and things have looked different, and being part of Open Door Church has felt different. But I wanted to convey that I believe that God is delighted with our perseverance. I want you to know that God is pleased with us, with you, for continuing to follow him and living out our faith together. And so well done. And I want to speak out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 25 today. This is a passage that was written to Christians from a Jewish background originally, and they had built up habits, they built up traditions of meeting with God and encountering God in a particular way. But they had had their lives transformed too. They had understood the good news of who Jesus was and what he had done for them. And so they had had to adapt as well to a whole new way of drawing near to God. It was a way that came through faith in Jesus, as we'll see, and is described in this passage as a new and living way. And so I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, and it says this: "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And you know, as well as the challenging side of the past 18 months and COVID, there's been some really positive things, I think, to come out of this season. And one for me is that we have broken with previous habits and routines of life, including in the way that we operate as a church. And not that all of those habits and patterns were wrong, but I think the thing that's been really positive is that we've been forced to think about what we do and why we do it. And as a team, we have been doing that. And we've discovered, I think, that there are some new things that we are now doing that are helpful. And we've also realised that some of our old routines weren't as helpful as we once thought. And as a leadership team, elders and our kind of core leaders together, we're in the process of asking God to give us vision about what he wants Open Door Church to look like going forward. And in our conversations so far, there's a key prophecy that was given many years ago in this church that we keep coming back to. We keep feeling that the Lord is drawing our attention to. It was given in the early foundational stages of the church. And it's the prophecy about God calling us to be church among the people. Let me read these words to you from 1995. I am going to mold you into church. Not as you see church, but church that will go out. A church of compassion, reaching out in my love. I will mold you. I will build you. I will make you straight. Your idea of church will be changed. You will be church amongst the people. And so I want to use these verses from Hebrews chapter 10 and to speak into this prophetic word that we're sensing God bringing to the fore again. And I just want to ask two questions, really. What is the church? Because it says in this prophetic word that God wants to change our idea of church. So what is the right idea of church? How does God see church? And I also want to ask, what does it mean to be church amongst the people? So firstly, what is the church? Well, obviously, we need to be aware that there is a worldwide church, and then there is many local churches around the globe. Open Door Church is one of those local churches. And a church really essentially is a community of people who put their faith in Jesus, who are choosing together to trust and to build their lives on who Jesus is, that he was God who came to us as a man. People who are choosing to put their trust in what Jesus did, his perfect life and his death and his resurrection, and choosing to build their lives and put their trust in what Jesus has shown us through his teaching and through the way that he lived. And so a church is made up of people who are living as disciples of Jesus, following him. That's what a disciple is, people who follow him in life, in the everyday. A church is made up of people who know that through faith they have been cleansed of all guilt by Jesus himself. We see something of this in verse 22 of this passage in Hebrews, where it says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." So a church is a community of people who put their faith in Jesus. Also, the church is the place where God now lives, where he is most tangibly present. If we just think for a moment about these Jews that this was originally written to, they had previously known God from afar. Their place of worship was the temple. They were welcome to come into the outer courts of the temple. That's what they did, to meet together, to pray, to offer sacrifices, where animal blood was spilt for the forgiveness of sins. But then further into the temple, you had the holy place. This was a place that only the priests could enter. They had special access into God's presence. But even beyond that, separated by a thick curtain, you had the most holy place. It was the most sacred. It was the place where that contained the Ark of the Covenant, which most clearly signified the presence of God with the Jewish people. And this was accessible, though, only to the high priest and only once a year on the Day of Atonement. And you know, looking back, that temple and the priests and the sacrificial system, it was helpful in enabling ordinary people to be able to relate to God at that time. It was a helpful signpost, actually, to one who was coming later, what Jesus was going to do. But it was an imperfect system. It often resulted in feelings of fear and encouraged a sense of keeping a distance from God. And the sacrifices that were given over and over again for forgiveness of sins. They were never enough on their own. But you know, now this passage tells us that a new and a living way has been revealed. That Jesus himself, God in human form, went to the cross. He spilt his blood as a sacrifice. And his body was broken, like the curtain was torn in two in the temple when Jesus died on the cross. And now access is open. Access to the most holy place has become available for all. Anyone who puts their faith in Jesus, their trust in him, is welcome to draw near, to come close, to experience the fullness of God's presence. With hearts full of faith, people can be cleansed and purified. And the distance and the separation between mankind and between God was dealt with. And people once again could experience intimacy and joy and strength and healing and power for themselves. Because these are the things that happen when God is present. The way that people related to God together had been transformed. And you know, from this point on, the place where God dwelt was changed forever. He no longer was known for living in a temple, but he had a new house. It says in verse 22 that it refers to Jesus as the great priest over the new house of God. God had a new address, and his new address was not a building, but it was among a people. Among his family, among a community called the church. The church is the new house of God. The church is a Holy Spirit-filled people. God lives among his people. And you know, this is still true for us. Through the new and living way, as we put our faith in Jesus in 2021 and going into 2022, Open Door Church, we can be assured that if we've put our faith in Jesus, we are cleansed and forgiven and made new, and we can come confidently and experience God's presence and value his presence with us as he dwells amongst us. And through his presence in us, kingdom life flows. Is this your idea of church? That's what church is. Or do you need to reset your mind on this? Most of us probably have heard and will probably agree that the church is not a building. We get that, don't we? That some churches have buildings, but the church is not the building itself, but it's the people inside the building. But I think for us, what we need to also be make sure we're clear on is that church is not a way of meeting. Church is not a meeting that we go to. And we need to listen to our language on this. At no point was the church closed because of COVID. The church was still a group of people who were putting their faith in Jesus and with whom God dwelt. And yes, we were all scattered to our homes. And yes, we had to find new ways to meet, but the church was not closed. And similarly, now that we're meeting in person again, we've not started to go to church again on a Sunday. We can't say that church is on some weeks and not on other weeks. We are the church all of the time, not just on Sundays, by the way. Every day, if you've put your faith in Jesus and you've trusted in him, you have become part of the global church. And if you have committed yourself to Open Door Church, you're part of this local church. You are the church. We are the church. And so as we move forward, as we continue to adapt, as things look and feel different, we are still Open Door Church. We are still a community seeking to follow Jesus and with full access to God's presence. That is who we are. That is who the church is. So we've looked at what is the church, but I also now want to look at what does it mean to be church among the people? And you know, this should not be a great surprise to us. If the church is a group of people who are following Jesus, it shouldn't surprise us that God calls us to go out to the crowds, to go out amongst people that don't yet know him. I mean, you didn't expect Jesus just to lead you to be amongst other believers, did you? If you did, you don't know Jesus very well. You see, Jesus came to reveal God's truth. Jesus came to reveal God's grace to people. He came to seek and to save those who had lost their way. He came to shine his light into the places of darkness. He came to offer hope to those who were feeling hopeless. He came to set people free from captivity, like addiction and lies. He came for those that were sick. He came for those that were outcasts of society and isolated from others. When you read the New Testament, you see that Jesus had come for people. He was always out among the people. Another way of saying that we want to be church among the people is to say that we want to be a spirit-filled community that is following Jesus out among those who don't yet know him. And we have more to do in working out what this looks like. But at this point, I'm going to hand over to Chris, who's going to share some of his thoughts.
Thanks so much, Ian. Hi, everyone. I just want to pick up on the first word that Ian mentioned there, the prophetic word for us as a church that we've held on to for many years and that we really feel we've been living with and has been a real shaping word for us. I just want to remind us of that word in full, and it said this. So I'm going to mold you into church, not as you see church, but church that will go out. A church of compassion, reaching out in my love. I will mold you. I will build you. I will make you straight. Your idea of church will be changed. You will be church among the people. Now, over the years, we've heard this referred to many times, particularly that as a one-liner, you'll be church among the people. I think there's real great power in reading that out and expanding out on it. I love reading that word, and I find that my chest really burns, my heart burns in my chest when I read that, and I'm really stirred and drawn to certain words in that we'll be a church of compassion. Like, oh Lord, yeah, make us more a church of compassion. We want to be full of God's love, that we've received God's love for ourselves, that we can display it to other people, that we'll go out in God's love. That's the strength and power that we will go out in, and that we will be molded, that God will make us straight, that there's a changing and a molding that God would do in us and amongst us. And I feel very excited when I look back over that prophetic word again. I really feel like there's so much there for us, and maybe we've only just scratched the surface on it. And I just really feel as a church, we need to go again and pray into that word again, to really go, okay, God, what are you, we feel that this is still a live word for us. We still feel that this is God's direction to us. But I really feel we need to pray into it with a new sense of hunger. What does it really mean? What does this really look like? And the very title that this prophetic word has given is the church among the people, but there's a change involved. That God will change us. He will change our idea of church, what church is like. And I think we are seeing that. God is changing our idea of what church is. There's another prophetic word that came a number of years after this that was particularly given to Ian, but is relevant for us as a church. And it talks about, let me just read this for you. You see, I believe that as the church takes pastoral responsibility for the community, that other gifts get added to it. And there's going to be an incredible anointing to be a prophetic church in the community that will release people into destiny. Wow, that's incredible. And as someone who loves pastoring and is a pastor, seeing that they're written down, pastoral responsibility in our community, what does that mean? That's the question that it brings in my mind. Well, what does that actually mean? And I don't know what that means. I don't know fully what that looks like. But you know what? I'm excited by it. I'm really excited by what it could mean. We see glimpse of it. We're seeing glimpses of things happening in the schools. We're seeing glimpse of things happening in Payne's Mill. We're seeing glimpse of things happening when we go out and we're more outward looking. We see glimpses of these things happening. But I'm not sure we've really stepped fully into that. What does it really mean for us as a church to be serious about taking pastoral responsibility in our community? I don't know what that fully looks like. I think it's linked to the other one about going out as a church of compassion with the love of God for people. Now, that would be enough to get me excited. I would be delighted and excited enough to go into the community and take the love of God to people who really need to hear about Jesus. That would be enough fuel for me to go on. But there's more promise here. There's more that as we do that there will be a prophetic outpouring through us. Wow. Wow, what could that look like? I don't know what these things fully look like, but I'm really excited by them. We're starting to see glimpses of it more and more. And a few weeks ago, I told some stories of some of the great things God is doing. And one of the things I mentioned was about our reconnection with Payne's Mill. And I was so touched, so many people got in contact with me off the back of that, offering help. And thank you so much for that. Just to let you know what that looks like and maybe the start of this journey, and well, not the start, but part of this journey of being more pastorally responsible in our community is this link with Payne's Mill possibly. And I went in to see them recently, spoke to a member of staff, very, very positive conversation. And basically the next step is for me to go and sit in on one of their staff meetings that I've been invited to, and for us to just talk around, okay, what are the needs? How can we as church help? How can we take the love of God and compassion into that community there? The door is open. The door is open. So when we've got some more info, we'll let you know. We'll let you know what I've signed you up to as a church. So that's going to be fun. The bottom line is I don't know what this looks like, but it's going to be a fun journey. So I really want to ask you guys, please pray into these words. What is God saying to us in this next season? How can we really be church amongst the community, taking the compassion and the love of God wherever we go and seeing people's lives changed in the name of Jesus? I'm pretty excited about that. I really hope that you guys will pray into this with us, really help us weigh these words and really ask the question, okay, what's your role? What's your role to play? What could you do to take the love of God to the town that we live in? It's exciting times we live in. It's exciting to be a Christian in St. Neots right now. God bless you guys.
Thank you, Chris. It's great to hear your thoughts on this. And those prophetic words that Chris read, those two prophetic words, both of those are from years gone by. And so, one question you might be asking is God still saying the same thing to us now, a number of years on? Well, let me read one more prophetic word to you. This is a more recent one from 3 years ago. We were given this by a prophet called Phil Wilthew, who's part of our Catalyst Network of Churches. And he prophesied this. This is part of a prophecy. He said, "There is a particular dead area of St. Neots, a difficult, rundown, tough area, and there is going to be resurrection in that particular area of your community. I see you intentionally going into that neighborhood and declaring resurrection life and it beginning to flow through your church. I feel it's time for you to start calling Lazarus from the grave, to not take no for an answer. It's time to wield spiritual authority in a new way in this season. This will be a season of extraordinary conversions, of unprecedented favor, of the poorest of the poor being crowned as kings and princes in their community." Wow. God is still saying to us, He wants us out among the people. He wants us to be church among the people. And we are responding to that prophetic word. We do sense that that particular part of town that that word has been speaking about is kind of the Duck Lane sort of area and some of the roads attached around there, which we now have a small group intentionally going into to declare life. It's called Living Hope because we want to bring living hope into that area of where there is much hopelessness. And so I want to encourage you that God is still saying to us as a church, be church among the people. So what next? Well, we must continue to pray. We must continue to talk together with faith. We must be creative with ideas as we begin to understand more about how God is leading us. We must be ready to step out obediently, courageously, to take risks. If we want to be church among the people, all of the activities that we do need to be reviewed against this. We need to be asking the questions, how does this activity help us to grow our faith in Jesus and welcome God's presence amongst us? Because that's what church is about. We need to be asking, how does this help us be out among the people, church amongst the people who don't yet know Jesus? And there's one thing that I want to talk specifically about now, and that is how we are meeting on Sundays. As you know, we're in a pattern of meeting some Sunday mornings and some Sunday evenings, and a pattern of variety of different activities. And I just want to make it really clear that this pattern is no longer a response, just a response to COVID. But this is an intentional decision that we are making as a leadership team. We are choosing to meet in this way because we feel there is benefit to meeting this way. We feel that it is the best thing for us right now. One of the key messages I want you to get is that the church is meeting every Sunday. Remember, the church is us as a collective group of people, and the church is meeting every Sunday. Yes, in different ways and for different purposes. There is an in-person option every Sunday, and there is an online option every Sunday. And you know, in a sense, how we meet as the church is not the most important thing. What is important is how it helps us and the fruit that it produces in us. And there's three things in Hebrews chapter 10 in this passage that we want our meetings to help us with. The first, from verse 23, is that we want our meetings to help us to hold on to the hope of Jesus. That we would be confident in who Jesus is and what he has done for us. That we would be confident that we are welcomed in and that our identity is secure. The second thing that we want our meetings to do is to help us, as it says in verse 24, to spur one another on to love and to good deeds, that we would be equipped and encouraged as we leave the church meeting, actually, to be church among the people throughout the whole of our week, to display God's love to others in good words and good deeds. We meet together to be strengthened to go. And thirdly, we want our meetings to help us to encourage one another more and more, as it says in verse 25. And you know, there's different ways, aren't there, that we can encourage one another in how we meet. The first one I want to suggest is we can invite one another. Personal invites are so powerful at the moment. Please, can I ask you, if you've come along to our Sunday morning meetings at the Priory Centre or our evening meetings at the Open Door Centre or at St Mary's, and you've enjoyed them, please talk about that with others. Invite them along, others in the church I'm talking about, to encourage people back. And personal invite is so powerful at the moment. That's a way of encouraging others. We can also encourage one another by sharing our stories, sharing the good things that God is doing amongst us. We can encourage one another by praying for one another. We can encourage, we can be encouraged as a church by bringing all ages back together and seeing the young people and the older folks and seeing the church family all together. And we do recognise that as people, we're creatures of habit. And we do recognise that it's been difficult perhaps to know quite where we are on different Sundays over this past season. And what we want to do is to continue to meet in this way, but to have a more memorable pattern from January. And as well as doing that, we also want to give each different way that we meet on Sunday a name, so it's just easier to communicate on our website and when we're speaking from the front and so on. And so we're going to call our every other Sunday morning at the Priory Centre ODC Together. This is a time where on the first week of the month and the third week of the month at 10:30 at the Priory Centre, we will gather the whole church together. There'll be activities for all ages. We'll have some sung worship. We'll have a preach from the Bible. We'll have chance to respond. We'll share stories of what God is doing and news of what is going on in the church. We're also hoping to have a team set up so that we have prayer available every week so that anyone coming in through the doors can go to a particular part of the room and receive prayer for what's going on in their lives, whatever the reason. And whilst that's happening in person, we will also still have our church online option available on those weeks for people that can't get in or are living further away or are still shielding or whatever the reason might be. And so that's ODC Together on the first and the third week of the month on a Sunday morning. Then we have ODC Equip on the second week of the month at 7 p.m. where you can join us either in person at the Open Door Centre or online on Zoom. Now, these evenings are about equipping and training us as people following Jesus to read the Bible for ourselves and apply it into practice. Last time we did this, a couple of weeks ago, the focus was on hearing from God. I did a bit of teaching on that, and then we released people into groups to have a go at hearing from God from one another. Do you know, it was a fantastic evening. It seemed like many of the people that were tuning in either on Zoom or in person in the room were encouraged. We had two new people with us who were new to Open Door and loved being amongst us in that context. I had a phone call from someone the following day who had been so encouraged to be in a group with people she didn't know, but that God had spoken to her clearly from the words and the pictures that people had for one another. And you know, I know this is different, and I know for some it might feel uncomfortable, but I want to suggest to you this is actually really helpful in training us and equipping us to live as disciples of Jesus in the everyday. The next one of these in January that we're going to do, we want to do some training on using the three circles, which is a tool to help us to share our faith. And this is going to be a place where we can grow as disciples and we can receive training and equipping, not just a theoretical knowledge that we don't put into practice. And so I want to encourage you, come along to ODC Equip. And then on the fourth week of the month at 7 p.m. in the evening as well, we've got ODC Encounter. This is for you to join in person at St. Mary's in Eatonsoken or online on Zoom. And this is a time just to come confidently as the church into God's presence, for God to dwell amongst us as we praise and worship and have space to encounter him, to minister to one another in the Holy Spirit, to sense what God is doing prophetically, to have time, to take time to respond to all that God is wanting to do amongst us. We have a wonderful worship team in this church. We have great worship leaders and musicians, and worship, sung worship, is such an important part of who God has made us to be, that we would be people who enjoy being in God's presence through sung worship and through creativity, using our whole bodies. And so we want to encourage you, come along to that and make the most of the space to do that. So what will we do on a week five, you might be asking? Well, we'll just use week five of our month, however we feel is most helpful. I think the other thing that I just want to say is that there therefore are two Sundays in a month where we are not meeting centrally in the morning. And I have found personally that that time has been so helpful, that space that has been created has been so helpful for being church among the people. Let me just give you some examples of some ways that that has been happening. We've had children's groups and parents that have been meeting in the park over the summer and have continued to meet both with people in the church and bring friends along and so on. We've had our Living Hope group that has been present in Duck Lane on some of those mornings. And you heard Chris share some of those stories just a few weeks ago about the way that God is breaking in to that community as we intentionally step into it. We've had our choir practicing and preparing to engage with the town at Christmas. And so there is space available to do that kind of thing. And I want to ask you, get creative. Get creative. How can you be church amongst the people in some of those times? And so I've said enough, but what I want to ask you is, please, will you join in? Please, will you get on board? Please, will you trust us as your leaders in the decisions that we're making? encourage one another. Let's speak positively about all that is going on. Yes, if you've got questions or if you've got concerns, please do come and speak to one of the leadership team. We would be very happy to speak to you. But let's, as we speak to one another around the church, let's speak positively. Let's encourage one another in this. Volunteer and serve. We need teams of people to continue to help develop these different ways of meeting to make them the best that they can be. And please will you pray for all that we're doing together, as we seek increasingly to be church, community of people with growing faith in Jesus, where God's presence dwells amongst us. But not just church, but to be church among the people. Let me pray for us now. Father God, we thank you so much for your word to us. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who you sent, that his death and his resurrection would make a way for us to be cleansed and purified and for us to come confidently into your presence, Lord God. We thank you that you love to dwell amongst your people, the church. We thank you that you're calling us to be a church full of your presence, full of your spirit, a church full of people growing in faith in Jesus, disciples who are following after him, but not just in church meetings, but in every part of life. We thank you that you are calling us to follow Jesus out into our community, to be church among the people. And so we say we are ready. We want to hear you, God. We want to understand more about what you're calling us into. Would you give us ideas? Would you give us creativity? Would you give us strategy as we look to do that? And Father, would you go before us and would you come behind us? By your Holy Spirit, be in us, work in us and through us as we touch in to the community around us. Would your name, Jesus, become known in this town? Would you become famous in St. Neots as we step out and we become church among the people? We pray, come Holy Spirit and fill us. Help us with this. We know that it's not going to be an easy journey. We know there's going to be challenges along the way. There's going to be successes. There's going to be things that don't go so well. God, would you fill us again? Would you encourage us? Would you help us to persevere? We hear your call to us and we want to respond to you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.